Hello, and welcome to the Shantagold acquisition of Barrick Gold's Kenya Projects presentation. Throughout this presentation, all participants will be in listen-only mode, and afterwards there'll be a question and answer session. Just to remind you, this is being recorded as well. Today, I'm pleased to present Eric Zurn, CEO. Please go ahead.
Thanks very much, and good morning, everyone. Thanks for dialing into today's call. We're gonna cover the acquisition that we announced this morning of Barrick Gold's West Kenya project. Just to remind you, Shanta is the third-largest gold company in Tanzania, and on the back of today's announcement, we'll expand our footprint into neighboring Kenya following closing. Joining me today is Luke Leslie, CFO. Let's kick off on slide three of the presentation, which is on our website. And I thought here on this slide, it's worth taking you through really the last 3 years of our progress, which sets the scene for today's announcement. In a nutshell, we're in a significantly stronger financial position with stable, reliable operations that have provided us the platform to pursue value-driven growth. Now, with this strength, we've come to the flexibility to pursue growth and pay dividends at some point in the future to our shareholders, both of which I remain firmly committed to do. In terms of our own approach, we approach M&A very carefully. We look at it through the eyes and the lens of giving our shareholders the most rewarding risk-adjusted returns. Now, we're selective and we're opportunistic. So this transaction we're announcing today has been pretty much a year in the making. On to slide four to take you through a bit of the highlights of what we're acquiring. Barrick's West Kenya project is situated in the Lake Victoria goldfield, which is on the Kenyan side of the border, which, as you all know, is home to many of the tier one global assets, such as Barrick's North Mara mine and AngloGold's Geita. We're acquiring prospective licenses covering a footprint of 1,161 square kilometers that have had approximately $55 million of past exploration expenditure and host an inferred resource of 1.2 million ounces grading 12.6 grams per ton. The colonials historically mined here back in the mid-20th century. They mined a deposit called the Rosterman Mine, which produced about 250,000 ounces of gold at a grade of 12.3 grams per ton. We've acquired an incredibly exciting project with one of the highest grading resources in Africa. We'll begin work shortly to progress the scoping study and unlock value. What I can say is that we've spent a long time studying this asset. We've been in bilateral conversations with Acacia and then Barrick. We've been through incredible amounts of due diligence. We've been to country probably at least half a dozen times over the last 6 or 7 months. And we have a really good idea of how we're going to move this forward and add value to the shareholders. Moving on to slide five, I'll take you through a bit about the transaction rationale. Over the last few years, Shanta has carved out its reputation as having a specialized expertise in long-hole open stoping. What that really means is we can do it cheaper and better than our peers. We have a center of excellence at New Luika, our producing gold mine, with very strong skills and experience across our team of nearly 700 employees. Now, we're obviously a much different company to Barrick. In particular, we're much smaller, obviously, and we have a different cost base. These assets that we're acquiring today are far more valuable to us than they are in the hands of Barrick. We're going to be applying our owner-managed team that mines at around half of the industry cost in terms of long-hole open stoping to these assets, which are effectively non-core to Barrick. The acquisition of the West Kenya project is a perfect fit for us. It's complementary both in terms of skills, location, law, and language. The acquisition adds a high-quality asset to our portfolio, increases our resources to over 3 million ounces of contained, and most importantly, adds a growth leg to the Shanta story. Now, finally, it's worth mentioning we're diversifying our risk. It just so happens that we're broadening our footprint into another country, in East Africa, which is a great neighboring jurisdiction for us, and it gives us long-term potential in a geologically rich and underexplored greenstone gold belt. As you can see on some of the charts, and the graphs, the Lake Victoria Goldfields wraps itself around the lake into Kenya, which is where the potential is just as good as on the southern side of the border in Tanzania. Moving on to slide 6, as I mentioned already, we've had bilateral conversations with Acacia and then with Barrick since April 2019. This has been a long process that's allowed us to really understand the resources and the potential. So in total, we're paying $7 million in cash, agreeing to settle third-party working capital liabilities of up to $4 million at closing or later, and Barrick will receive $7.5 million in shares of Shanta at a price of 10.5p, as well as a 2% life of mine NSR on the licenses. Barrick will become a 6.4% shareholder in Shanta, ranking it as number 5, and we expect the transaction to close around mid-2020, following customary regulatory approvals in Kenya. On slide 7, we've added this page to show you and take a step back what Shanta looks like pro forma. In a nutshell, we're using our strong cash flow to support our growth pipeline, which we think is fantastic, particularly for a junior company in the junior gold space. As I already mentioned, we'll have 3.1 million ounces of gold contained in our 3 projects in 2 countries. We'll have a producing asset, a development asset in Singida, and a growth project in West Kenya. On slide 8, it's worth mentioning that our board and myself and Luke both have a lot of experience in East Africa. We've been going to the country for many years. Our chairman was actually raised in his youth in East Africa, and all of our non-execs have had experience working and living in and across Africa. Most importantly here, management and directors are aligned with shareholders. We own 9.3% of Shanta, and we want nothing more than to see Shanta prosper. A bit more on the acquisition now, and moving ahead to slide 10. The West Kenya project stacks up really well against some of the high-grade global peers that we've benchmarked here on this page. The chart is indicative. It's referencing an M&I resource grade, but it points largely to the fact that grade is important, and West Kenya offers that attractiveness at 12.6 grams per ton on an inferred basis. On to slide 11, the West Kenya project covers the northernmost greenstone belt in the Lake Victoria goldfield. The Lake Victoria is home to, as I said, some of the giants in the industry and is the right setting in terms of prospectivity. West Kenya, which is what's being acquired, covers the majority of the Busia Kakamega greenstone belt, which is circled here on this chart. Now moving from the Lake Victoria map into the actual greenstone belt that we're acquiring and the licenses, as you can see here on slide 12, within that belt, we've acquired effectively 4 prospective exploration camps, which have been recognized, and the most significant one being the Kakamega camp. The overall footprint, as I said already, is 1,161 square kilometers, and there's been $55 million of past exploration spend since 2010, the majority of which was done by Acacia starting in 2013. The area is easy to access. It's a short flight from Nairobi, paved roads to site, water and power is available. Kakamega is also home to the historic Rosterman colonial mine, which I alluded to earlier. You can see that on the top part of the graph here on page 12. Moving ahead now to slide 13, we've gone from the Lake Victoria graph to the Kakamega graph to now the La Randa corridor, which is within the Kakamega gold camp. Gold mineralization here is hosted by sheared pillowed to massive basalts of the mafic volcanic unit and varies from approximately 0.5 meter to 10 meters in true width across the La Randa corridor. La Randa corridor is about 12 kilometers long, and as you can see here, hosts the 2 deposits which are most interesting to us, the Bushingala and the Asulu deposits. Strike lengths here of the explored sections of the main mineralized zones in La Randa vary between about 200 to 650 meters, and the 1.2 million ounces of resource that we're acquiring is currently open down plunge and dipping at about 80 degrees. On to slide 14, which breaks down the resource between the two deposits, Isulu and Bushy. A total of 13 zones were modeled on the two prospects, Isulu having 9 and Bushy having 4. The zones at Isulu remain open at depth and to the east and at depth as well. The zones at Bushy remain open to the south, east, and at depth. High-grade oxides, which are often ignored and were particularly discounted and ignored by Acacia, have not been factored into previous economic analyses, but we think are incredibly exciting to be considering. For instance, at Isulu, from 18 meters, historical drilling has shown oxides of 10 meters grading 17 grams per ton. And from 35 meters depth, oxides are showing 6 meters at 63 grams per ton, all of which has been ignored in Acacia's value analysis. Oxides at Bush and Galu look even better. Our numbers show that the mining of oxides might actually be enough to be a significant part of the development capex of the underground project. Slide 15 is a visual representation of what our geos got particularly excited about during our site visit back in June, during one of our site visits back in June. To put it in summary, one-third of all drill holes had visible gold at Isulu and Bushy. In 42% of the mineralized zone intercepts, multiple occurrences of visible gold were found. In summary, this is a very rich deposit with high grade that will be mined using long hole open stoping. It's exactly what we're looking for because it's exactly what we're already doing at Iluika. It feels absolutely like the perfect fit. On to slide 16. To give you a better feel for the locations of the two deposits, there are a few options of how we could go about mining these. One option being a single portal access at surface splitting off into two declines, similar to New Luika. Another option is mining the high-grade oxides at each of Isulu and Bushy and having two entry points. As it stands today, Isulu carries the bulk of the resource in value, which Isulu's resource today is 1.1 million ounces at 13 grams per ton. Very, very exciting for us to get our hands into. Now on to slide 17 to show you a bit about what we can do with these deposits and where we think there's upside potential. We've identified 6 proximal targets that have the potential to expand the resource significantly. All are open at depth. All can potentially be added prior to a development decision, or it could be drilled from underground, similar to what we're doing already at our New Luika mine. In summary, though, more work needs to be done, but it's certainly a really exciting starting point. I'll now ask Luke to take us through slides 19 and 20 on funding, pro forma register, and next steps. Luke.
Thanks, Eric. So turning to slide 19, on the right-hand side of the slide, you will see Shanta's current capitalization. Prior to the announcement of this transaction, we had been guiding for the company to be in a net cash position by mid-year this year. New guidance is for a net cash position in H1 next year, following the anticipated payments to Barrick. As Eric has said, this transaction does not change our thinking around distributions to shareholders. Distributions, including dividends, remain a top priority for us. Turning to slide 20, what are the next steps for the West Kenya project and what are we looking to achieve this year? So we expect closing of this transaction to take place in the middle of the year. Our priority is to release a scoping study to include the project economics shortly after completion. And of course, we need to get our feet on the ground in Kenya. Importantly, the scoping study will include Shanta's operating costs. This is an exciting component to the opportunity, and we're looking forward to updating the market for the project's NPV under Shanta's ownership in due course. For your models, the holding costs are minimal, and we will come back to you with a concrete plan going forward once we close.
Thanks, Luke. With that, we'll hand it back to the operator and take any questions.
Thank you. So, ladies and gentlemen, if you have a question, could you please press 0 and then 1 on your phone keypad now in order to enter the queue. And then after I announce you, just ask that question. And if you find that question has been answered before it's your turn to speak, just press 0 and then 2 to cancel. And there'll be a brief pause while the questions are being registered. Okay, our first question is from the line of Justin Chan from Numis Securities. Please go ahead, Justin. Your line is now open.
Hi, guys. Good morning. First of all, I'd just like to say from our side, I'm very excited about this. I think you guys have done a great job at New Luica, and it's exciting to see you guide the company onto a next chapter as well. I guess my first one's just on in terms of the scope of the project and how we should think of it, and I realize the scoping study will come later. On a high level, I guess, could you give us a sense of, you know, how large of a plant are you thinking, or is that to be determined based on more exploration? But I guess high level, is there anything you can share with us in terms of plant size, production, and that sort of thing? And just on the oxides as well, would the thought there be to do a starter pit if you do go for the mining of the oxides? I'll let you tackle that and come back with a couple more questions.
All right. Thanks, Justin. Good questions. What I can say today about kind of scaling of this project, the way we see it is it'll be slightly bigger than New Luica's production in terms of gold ounces, but probably most likely smaller plant than New Luica because of the higher grade. And so in terms of way to think of capital, and I don't want to get ahead of myself because the scoping study will have a lot of this, and we've done a lot of this work already. But in terms of capital, we think it's very financeable, possibly through our own cash flows in the future with some debt component. But, I mean, I'm getting way ahead of myself, possibly in terms of years. In terms of the oxides, you're right. The two starter pits would be the ideal scenario, which is what we're looking at, and which Acacia never considered. They went straight underground, leaving behind what we think is about 120,000 ounces of really high-grade oxide material for the first 100-plus meters from surface. So it's particularly exciting because you can get all of that out and possibly pay for a lot of the capital at the underground.
Okay, fantastic. And in terms of the deposit itself, and when you looked at it and kind of drafting a sense of a mining plan in your own mind, I mean, what are the widths of the mineable areas? Is the ore visibly distinct? And in terms of the high amount of visible gold, was there a top cut applied? And I guess what I'm ultimately driving towards is, in terms of mineability and the difficulty of managing, you know, extremely high grade sections and managing dilution and getting, you know, managing what you're putting through the plant. Could you just give us a sense of those considerations and how we should be thinking of this?
Yeah, no, good question. So in terms of mineralization, it's effectively structurally controlled along strike, ranging from about 0.5 to 10 meters wide. Now, in terms of your own modeling, The way we think of New Luica, for instance, widths there on average are roughly 6 to 7 meters. Widths here would be lower than that, but the grades would be better. So the way around that in terms of thinking of a mine plan is using basically the same type of equipment, but just smaller. Still being mechanized, still being long hole open stoping, but being smaller trucks. We were looking at ore drives of 3 by 3 meters, owner managed, slightly smaller plant, and effectively replicating the New Luica model here with some tweaks. As I said, we've been through it in a lot of detail. We've done our own modeling for, you know, the better part of about 5 or 6 months, and we think we've got something pretty interesting that just doesn't fit in Barrick or Acacia's plans. At all.
Absolutely. And is the distribution of VG fairly fairly regular within the deposit. And I guess, do you think you'll need a higher level of development to just make sure you have enough flexibility to keep grade reliable, I suppose, going into the plant?
Yeah, I mean, where we are today, Justin, so the drilling's been done to between 80 to 100 meters, and that needs to be, obviously, there needs to be infill drilling to increase the confidence and move the resource through to a reserve. Now, again, I don't want to get ahead of myself, but that will need more drilling before we could ever publish a DFS. We say, you know, we give ourselves roughly about 3 years to kind of move the project through the value chain and get a better feel for the mineable portion of the resource.
Okay, perfect. And just my last one, and I'll free up for other people. In terms of, Luke, you mentioned that the holding costs are minimal and we'll have more concrete plan on closing. High level, do you have a sense of, you also mentioned the 3 years, what the level of spending is annually and how much drilling you'd like to do to advance this, you know, through those 3 years? How should we be thinking of it, I guess, from a financial perspective?
Okay. So in terms of holding costs, it's less than $2 million a year. So that's with doing, you know, kind of minimal expenditures required on the licenses, keeping the team there. The answer to your question in terms of what we expect over 3 years is it's likely to be about $8 million a year each year for 3 years, but we're going to get much more clarity on that number, I think, as we go through the next six or so months.
Okay, fantastic. Thanks. That's very helpful. I'll free up the line for anyone else on the call.
Thank you. So before taking Laurie Kimmon at Berenberg, if anyone else has any further questions, please press 0 and then 1 on your phone keypad now. And Laurie, over to you.
Yeah, morning, guys, and thanks for the call, and congrats on the acquisition. Just to follow on from the last question, so funding for the DFS completion, how do you guys expect to fund that $8 million a year?
Yeah, in terms of, good morning. In terms of the way we look at the next 3 years, and when we say that, it's largely the start of 2021. We've put together as part of our diligence a plan of about $25 million of spending to get it into a bankable state with a very high quality reserve. Now, that's obviously dependent on the results of any drilling. But that's kind of roughly how, in our minds, we would need to do work and spend to progress it. In terms of funding that $8 million a year, just to remind you, we have the producing asset, which at the moment is current spot price, generating $55 million of EBITDA. And as Luke said, we'll be through our debt repayments kind of early in 2021. So we're in really good shape to self-fund this and make sure that we can add value without having to to bring out new cash from anywhere else.
Okay, great, thanks. And just, I know you mentioned about the CapEx earlier, and I appreciate it's pretty early stage still, but could you give us a bit more color on the underground CapEx, and given your expertise and experience with Niluika?
Yeah, no, fair enough. The way we've modeled this is, at Niluika, where we have experience mining at about $2,700 per meter. Now, that's roughly about half of what the industry is doing in terms of long-hole open stoping.
Yep.
We think the cost will be slightly higher than that because of the nature of this deposit. But it will still be significantly less than the average in the industry. Now, what's exciting to us is the proposition given to us by the vendor was that the industry costs were the base case for, you know, the economics around this project, which is exactly what we think is the opportunity, because in our minds they aren't. It's in fact our costs and not the industry average.
Okay, thanks. And lastly, on the fiscal regime, I know you mentioned in your presentation further down, on the royalties and tax rates. Is that something you guys have already agreed on, or is that to come?
No, the fiscal regime as it stands here in our presentation in RNS is effectively under Kenyan law, and so we have nothing agreed in particular with the government.
Okay. All right, guys.
Sorry, nothing beyond what's already in the law with the Kenya government. So it's just we can assume what in law is in the Mining Act is what we would our base case.
Okay, got it. All right, guys. Cheers. Thanks a lot.
Okay, so we have a further question, and that's back to the line of Justin Chan at Numis. Please go ahead, Justin. Your line's open again.
Hi, guys. Just a few more follow-ups since I played fair and gave everyone else a chance. Just first on in terms of the site infrastructure, you touched upon the paved road and power and water access. I guess more specifically, how much work would it take to connect to the grid, or is it already? And is that part of the development plan? I guess that would be the first one. And then, I'll let you answer that first, perhaps, and then I'll come back with others.
Okay. Yeah, no, so it is connected to the grid now, but it's not at a level that's sufficient for mining. In terms of the study we did on power, so we did all the studies, you know, Acacia and ourselves reviewed all the studies that would go into a feasible pre-feasibility level study. Now, in terms of upgrading the power, there's two options with that. One is you effectively self-generate, so whether that's diesel or through rented. I mean, that's obviously the most expensive option, but the lowest in terms of capital. By far, the better option economically is paying the development costs or the capital of upgrading the line, which I can't remember off the top of my head, but I think it was in the teens in terms of, I think it was about $12 million in terms of upgrading, and then you're into power at kind of below 10 cents per kilowatt hour. So again, it's a trade-off study, and that'll be part of the initial view on the in the scoping study that we published.
Okay, thanks. That's very helpful. And in terms of in terms of the geological teams that worked on this and sort of the team that Barrick Acacia had on site, are there any of them that are available to join you? Do any of them come over with a purchase? And I guess how much access do you have to those people, and do you expect to have going forward?
Yeah, it's a good question. In summary, we've agreed with Barrick to have a very orderly handover at the time of completion. So there's a few individuals that obviously have a lot of knowledge on the project that we've been working with for the last year. My first trip to Kenya was in March 2019 to meet these people. And so we're pretty comfortable that, you know, we can transfer a lot of that knowledge, but I think we've already got a lot of it anyway, to be honest. We basically remodeled their entire resource, went through all of the drill core data. Numerous independent consultants helped us with that just to kind of verify and then verify again. So we're pretty comfortable, and, you know, to be honest, the value is in the resource and the data. It's not so much in the people as it stands today. The team that we're inheriting, I believe, is 15 people, 1-5. As drilling picks up in the next possibly 12 months, that will obviously expand, but no plans to do that yet.
Okay, thanks. That's helpful. And just the last one, in terms of, I guess, work permit and, I guess what I'm asking is, are there any regional agreements between Kenya and Tanzania that would allow you to bring some of your workforce from Tanzania over to Kenya to help you out there? Could you just give a sense on if there are any synergies or advantages in that respect?
Good question. What I can say is this. I mean, we had numerous conversations with the principal secretary, different levels of government in Kenya. What they're looking for is their ambitions to open up the mining industry in Kenya. You've got base resources, which is there, which has done a great, great job, fantastic job as the kind of pioneer. But there's absolutely a desire to put Kenya on the map in terms of mining. Mining's less than 1% of GDP, and they're open to, they recognize that they don't have as many skills, possibly when you compare to Tanzania, so they're open to having transfer of skills over time. But our philosophy remains, similar to what we did in Tanzania, is to indigenize as much as possible and to transfer skills over time into, the local population. So I imagine that'll include some kind of reciprocal arrangement of having our Tanzanian workforce and skills be brought into country.
Okay, thanks. And just this is really not an operational question at all, but in terms of just simply, like, how should we refer to this project going forward? Do you have a chosen name for it? Is it Luanda? Is it Kakamega? Or
Yeah. I mean, so the way to think of it, we've referred to it as the West Kenya Project, and the actual area where the proposed site is the Luanda Project.
Okay.
So the Luanda is within that 12-kilometer corridor within Kakamega, within West Kenya. So West Kenya is the bigger, that's what we effectively acquired, the seven licenses, 1,100
yeah.
square kilometers. And then Luanda is the actual name of the project that we would hope to turn into a mine one day.
Okay, great. That's helpful. And that's just more to make sure that, communications and references are as easy to understand for everyone as possible. Okay, great. Thanks a lot, guys. I've asked a bunch of questions, so I'll clear off. But again, congrats.
Okay, well, that was the final question for today. So, Eric, can I please pass it back to you for any closing comments?
Right. Yeah, thank you very much, everyone. This is an exciting step forward for Shanta. And as mentioned, we will be back to you formally with an update on the economics, the scoping study, at or immediately following closing of the transaction. We'll provide updates from now until then as we proceed, but I think it's safe to say we can probably wait until closing to have any kind of material updates over to you. Have a nice day.
This now concludes today's session, so thank you all very much for attending, and you can now disconnect your lines.